or the back of the temple, on his knees, beating his breast, and praying to God in an anguished voice, "Please forgive a sinner like me." And the Pharisee, hearing this man's pleas, looks up to God as he kneels before the altar and says, "Thank God I am not like that person back there." Well, here's the deal. God does not grade on the curve. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. None of us are deserving. If God were just, we'd all be crispy critters. But God is also merciful, and God is forgiving. So if you have ever wondered if you're good enough, I want you to take your eyes off of yourself and put them on God. Because I am about to give you some of the best news you have ever heard. It's not about you. Contrary to that popular anthem that we like to sing, "It's all about me. It's not about you. It's all about me. Yippee-dee-dee. It's all about me. Not about you." It's not about either one of us. Not about either me or you. It is about God. And this is such good news that I've had scripture cards made. You may take one on your way out of church today if you want. I encourage you and the rest of what's left in this season of Lent is that you memorize this verse. Keep it with you always. Because it is found in the epistle lesson I shared with you at the 8th verse. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, lest anyone should boast." There is no spiritual gymnasium where you can lift Holy Spirit weights and develop faith muscles. The faith that you have has been given to you by the grace of God. You know, in one of her first semi-autobiographical books, Corrie Ten Boom talked about faith. So those of you who may not remember her, she was a very popular writer in the 60s and 70s. She was a survivor of Auschwitz concentration camp. She lost all of her family, including her sister, especially at the end of the war. Her father had the custom of going in to see Corrie and to offer prayers beside her bed and kind of talk with her about the faith. And for some reason that night, Corrie was wondering and worrying about whether or not she would have enough faith to be able to die as a martyr as World War II in Europe was, World War II was commencing and Europe was collapsing around them and her native Holland or the Netherlands was falling rapidly under Nazi Germany. Corrie was getting ready to take a trip to go see an aunt or an uncle in a neighboring village by train, and her father heard Corrie talking about whether or not she'd have enough faith to do the brave thing, enough faith to even die for the Lord, if that's what it was called to do. And her father asked her, "Corrie, when you have your bags packed and you're going to go visit aunt and uncle, when do I give you your train ticket?" And she says, "Well, right before I get on the train, Father." And her father said, "That's right. God will give you the faith that you need when you need it, not a moment before. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are given the faith when we need it." This is an old, old lesson. The Israelites had to learn it all over again when they were in the wilderness for 40 years. God provided manna daily from heaven, but God also gave a warning about the manna. God said, "You cannot save the manna for tomorrow. You cannot store it up for a rainy day because it will spoil and you will become sick." And what did the people do? They tried to save the manna because they just didn't quite trust in God's goodness that God would provide. And how often do we try to do that also? We may pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," but we oftentimes do not live
by being dependent upon God's provisions for each and every moment of our lives. When I teach confirmation classes, I really try to stress this idea that we have been saved by grace through faith, and this is not our own doing, lest anyone should boast about their good works. And I tell confirmation students that the good things that you do are not done in order to earn God points or in order to get yourself into heaven, but the life that you live, the decisions that you make, are your thank you notes to God that you write each and every day of your life. The reason that we do good things is not to earn favor, but to thank God for God's many blessings. Last week, I was driving back from the Chillicothe area on Route 29 going south, and I happened to see a billboard on the south side of the road, and it was put out by the Peoria Rescue Mission. And it was very simple. It had a simple cross, and it said, "He first loved us." Isn't that what we say when we baptize children? Isn't that what the baptismal font in the middle of our chancel area talks about? When I baptize a child, I oftentimes recall the words of 1 John. We love God because God first loved us. It all begins with God. We live our lives in response to God's grace through the faith that God has given to us, lest any of us should boast of our own works and our own worthiness. And isn't that about what the communion table is about? In both of these sacraments, we are able to come to the table, we are able to be baptized, not because of who we are or who we are going to be or what we have done or anything else, but we are able to come to the font, and we are able to come to the table because we have been invited by a gracious God. And we have been given the faith to come forward and to share with one another and with the least and the last and the lost of this world. The Christian gospel is so countercultural that it is incomprehensible to those who are on the outside. Years ago, in 1968, Dr. Kent Keith wrote what he called paradoxical parables or faith statements. He wrote it for a group of student leaders, and it is as timely today as it was in 1968. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs but follow only top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you do help them. Help them anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. For the glory of God. Amen.